guys, it's Charles with the Barbershop Crew Podcast. You know, recently, a good friend of mine shared his excitement about some news that's occurring in his budding relationship, and another old friend of mine contacted me to tell me that he was getting a divorce. And, you know, guys, it seems to me that a lot of men are experiencing these things in their relationships, but we rarely hear men so vocal about them. A lot of times we hear women talk about the things that they're doing well, the things that are working, and the things that they want in relationships, and the things that they don't want. In fact, a lot of life coaches are out there sharing their lives with other people, but guys don't really do that. So today, I'm just going to talk about how we can be better husbands, how we can be better partners in our relationships. And maybe these things will help us kind of clear some of the fog. But sit back, relax. We hope that you'll enjoy it. Hey guys, so today, man, it's about relationships, marriage relationships, any type of intimate relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever you call yourselves, right? You know, it's funny when I run into men who are ready to retire. One of the things that they talk about looking forward to is spending more time with their families, spending more time with their children, or if they have grandchildren, spending more time with their grandchildren. I hope that when they say the word family, if they are involved in a relationship, they also mean their wife or girlfriend or whoever it may be. I'll just make the assumption that that's true. But what's interesting all the time is that, you know, this tends to be the focus. I want to be able to spend more time with my family. And that's a great thing. But I also think about this. So I don't want to say I worry about it, but the question does come up in my mind. And that's that, well, what do you do before retirement, right? How do you engage with your children and your family before that? And how do you engage with your wives and girlfriends before that? So that's what we're talking about today. As I said, you know, a buddy of mine recently started a new relationship, and I won't say it's brand new. It's developed over time, and I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him. The look on his face is just much different than it has been in the past. The sound of his voice, you can see his chest move when he talks about this relationship, and that's a great thing, and I hope that that continues. And he and I both share some of the really idiotic things that we have done with women in the past. And we talk about some of the stresses, the stressors of relationships and what have you. And I remember speaking with my dad a long time ago about relationships. And I got to tell you, when I was younger, my dad would talk to me about relationships. I thought my dad was a punk. I recently was made aware of a word called simp. I had no idea what the word simp was before I heard it. And, you know, I guess that's kind of like what my dad sounded like to me at the time. Obviously, I'm a young guy and I don't know much, but I think I know everything at the time. And so I didn't listen. Well, I listened, but I wasn't willing to follow the instructions that my dad gave. And as it turns out, as I've gotten older regarding relationships, guess what? A lot of those things that my dad said are true. A lot of those things that my dad said would work, do work. And a lot of those things that dad said do not work, indeed do not work. So I'm thankful now to have had my father in my life to be able to share those things with me, even though it took me too long to learn from them, too long to benefit from them. But I like to think that we can always change. So at any rate, you know, there are a lot of women who talk to men about how to be better in relationships. And there are a lot of women who talk to women about how to be better in relationships. But there are not a lot of men who talk to men about how to be better in relationships. There are a lot of men, or there's a growing number of men who talk to men about how to not lose themselves, how to be brutes, or how not to be simps in relationships and things like that. And that's not what I'm here for. Obviously, if you've listened to previous podcasts, you know that I believe in the kind word and the Buddha mind. And that's a little different than what some of the other guys are looking for. There are guys out there who are still looking for tough, raw masculinity and, you know, calling all the shots and beating their chests. And that's not really what this is about at this point. This is about a guy who's been through a lot of things and done a lot of looking in the mirror and is willing to remove those parts from his life, remove the ego, remove the chest beating, remove the need for that type of presence on the stage. So what are some of the things that, you know, Dad talked about with me when I was a teenager, right? That might make a relationship better. Believe it or not, you know, 2019, these are things that psychologists and therapists are talking about. But for whatever reason, we still have yet a lot of men who just, they're not so. And I understand. But one of the things that Dad said to me was that, you know, if it didn't affect my doorstep, right? If it didn't affect my address, don't bring it home. Don't let it inside the door. Whatever it was, if that was somebody's personal business or some anxiety and worry, some nonsense that you saw happen out there in the world, even things that happen at your job. All right. Now, obviously, you can talk to your significant other about things that may be happening at work that are causing you stress and stuff like that. But what he meant by that was obviously don't come home and take that stuff out on your spouse, your significant other. Don't do that. Right. Be mindful of the energy that you bring home. And we know life is full of stressors. They always are. And if you're out there, whether you're an entrepreneur or, you know, working a 9-to-5 or working several different part-time jobs or unemployed or whatever the case is, man, we know that a lot of guys are still at the point where, you know, being the breadwinner is something we struggle with. We want to be able to say we're bringing something home. We're bringing something to the table, right? And when we fall short, it impacts us. There's just, I don't know too many men who it doesn't impact. It still does. And it's something that we have to work on. But, you know, we have to be really mindful about the energy that we bring home. You know, choosing the energy we wish to bring into our home is extremely, extremely important, because when we do that, we have more control over our intentions. We have more control over our moods and over our behaviors. When we bring everybody else's baggage past our door to our address, obviously, not only does it impact us, but it impacts our significant other. We find ourselves spending a lot of time talking about those issues, and it may not be something that they were ready to discuss. It may not even have been a thing that was anywhere in their minds. Like, they were totally somewhere else, and now we've got them thinking about this thing, right? And it just can become an eyesore psychologically for two people. So that's something that we have to always be aware of, and we have to do that each day, each hour. And in the past, I've talked about social media. I've talked about how each one of us is a news site. Each one of us is our own little personal news media. And sometimes we can even get involved in sharing things from social media that don't impact our addresses, but do end up impacting our collective relationship psyche, right? And you kind of have to ask yourself, wait a minute, what did I just bring that into our sphere for, right? What did I just bring that into our focus for? What purpose did it really have? That's all energy, man. And so we have to be mindful of things like that. You know, I don't believe that guys are are emotionally weak or unintelligent. I do think that they're, you know, even myself, man, there are things that I struggle with emotionally where it's more difficult for me to kind of process certain types of emotion. But it's probably more difficult for me to be able to verbalize certain types of emotions than it is for me to process certain types of emotions. And I'm sure that there are other guys out there who are like that. But, you know, one of the things that we know, and a lot of marriage and family therapists know this as well, early on when couples, you know, go to therapy, a lot of times you'll find that women bear a lot of, you know, weight, a lot of management for daily tasks in relationships, but also they bear a lot of weight for the management of personal feelings. And, you know, I think that there's a little bit of give and take there, because I think that if you're involved with a narcissist kind of person, and I hope that we're not just going out there labeling people like that. Like, if you're not qualified to do that, please stay away from that. But, you know, if you, somebody who's just extremely selfish and probably exhibiting some type of toxic behavior, you're involved with them, you know, you probably are doing a lot of emotional labor yourselves. You can fall into that, no doubt. But I think overall, you know, at least in terms of what we're able to see with couples, right? Whether you, and I get to see this when I'm dealing with a couple that has come in and somebody's even got like chemical dependency issues. There are other outliers out there. And then it's like, okay, well, now you're going to go to one of the psychologists in the building and they're going to talk to you about that stuff, right? But emotional labor, man, is something that I think that we guys could probably improve on, you know, and it doesn't require you to do it the same way that a woman does it if you're straight male, right? Or even if you're gay male, you don't have to do it the way that a woman does it. I think that you guys are aware of that. But, you know, there's just too many guys that I know who haven't done like emotional labor at home, in relationships. And I can tell you in the past, I've also been guilty of that, where I've not done the emotional labor or the management of things at home. And that can be taxing for women. And I think the corollary, guys, that I like to throw out there for you is, imagine being, you know, an interim manager or a mid-level manager with a company. And so you've got several bosses ahead of you, you know, above you, and you are doing their work, and you're also doing the work of the people who are working for you. You know, you're doing the work of your subordinates, right? So again, you're doing your supervisor's work, but you're also doing your subordinates' work. Just think about it that way for a minute. You know, I think that if a lot of women heard that, they would be able to relate to that. But I think that when you guys consider what it's like to have to do somebody else's share of things, it can become tiresome. It can be extremely frustrating. It'll make you want to terminate that person. You've got to look for somebody else to help. You try to come up with all of the business acumen, all of the business definitions and trainings that you can to help the people understand it better. And at the same time, you're trying to figure out how to have a different type of conversation with your boss, right? Because you're stressed out in trying to manage this whole load. Just think about that with regard to women, and sit down and ask yourself some honest questions. Like, take a look at it and say, hey, wait a minute. Am I doing this in my relationship? Like, am I having somebody else? Am I having my partner lift a heavy load? Are they doing a lot of the work that I could chip in on? Hey, you know what? Whether that's psychological work, spiritual work, financial work, house cleaning, just all, whatever the case may be, man, just, you know, I think that we can always ask ourselves if we can be better. Now, going back to the first point I made where Dad said, don't bring other things into your house, right? If it doesn't belong at your address, don't put it at your address. One of the things that I've learned is that when I was focused on other people's stuff, it made it more difficult for me to do emotional labor with the person I was involved with. Okay. So, you know, one of the best ways to really get involved in that emotional labor is to sit down and talk about it and have a plan. And I know that that sounds really simple, you know, but it can be emotionally taxing even to do that, because when you sit down and talk about it, you've got to be willing to address some other stuff, right? You got to be willing to talk about why certain things don't happen and what you are comfortable doing and uncomfortable doing. This discussion may bring up some vulnerabilities, but it's not meant to be a thing that makes you go away, makes you feel bad. This type of conversation is just like a type of growth and development conversation that you would have with one of your employees at work. You know, you have a growth and development conversation with somebody at work because you see an opportunity for improvement and you actually want to see that person improve. If you think about being an HR manager or some other type of manager at your job, right? There's a lot more labor cost involved in terminating a person, hiring a new person, training that person, and going through all of that thing. And the same thing applies with relationships, man. I mean, if you think about it, you really don't want to go down the road of having to start all over again, where it might be more productive just to sit down and have that conversation about a new way forward. And that's something we've got to be open to. Again, we're talking about openness. We're not talking about remaining stuck in our old ways and our preconceived notions and social expectations. See, and that's why I said this conversation is a little bit different than what some guys out there are probably looking for. Okay. One of the things that I think that we have to do, and this goes for women and men, but I'm focusing on men. I'm a guy and I'm talking to guys because you know what? Hey, a lot of people don't want to talk to guys. I'm doing the hard thing. Look, man, these phones of ours, these smartphones are handy. They are great. We all use them. Some of us have more than one. I can tell you guys, man, there was a time when my phone was constantly in my hand. And in fact, I'm learning to let go of my phone even now. Outside of trying to use it for the barbershop group, I'm like, hey, you know, I have a landline phone and the people who need to reach me, they've got that number, that landline phone. I'm going old school with it. You know, if you don't have any business truly contacting me, then you probably don't have that landline phone number. Okay. But, you know, putting the phones down can really, really help. Everybody, I think, now is familiar with the idea of fubbing. And it's something that a lot of younger people, it's getting a lot of people in trouble. The same way that Facebook got a lot of people in trouble a decade or so ago. They were trying to cite Facebook for a lot of divorces or what have you. But it takes away from attention. Not only does it take away from the attention that we could give to like kids, obviously, right? And it takes away from attention that we could give to significant others in our lives. It causes a relationship to degenerate. It causes communication to degenerate really quickly. And it can, you know, cause emotional barriers. And there are a lot of studies out there that there's a lot of research out there that highlights that our phones are distracting us from authentic human interaction. And it is. It's not, and I'm not saying to you guys, get rid of your phones. Obviously, a lot of us use them for work and what have you. But even that, man, I remember when all of my work email and stuff would be on my phone. I'm sure a lot of people out there still have their work email and everything attached to their phones, and it just goes off constantly. It never, ever stops. And that was the case for me. 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm getting email, even before I've gotten to work. if there are 50 email walking in to the door that I've got to respond to. And then when I get home, the same thing. And it's just nonstop. Open up this PDF, look at this plan, do this, do that. So between work and social media stuff, right? Let's say you've got 500 friends on Facebook or 500 people that you follow on Instagram, all right, or both. Well, that's 1,000 media personalities that you are now watching. Just think about that, right? So if you are my age, you probably grew up before cable anyway. You probably grew up with like 5 TV stations, 3 or 4 of them had news stations, didn't come on all day. News wasn't 24/7, but now you've got social media and each one of those people is their own little mini news station and you're just reeled in the whole time. When are you actually focusing on the people around you? Right. So it's a challenge to put down the phones, but that's why it's good to, you know, go on some of those retreats, man. Even if you own your home, hey, you know what? Get you a tent and pitch it in the backyard. Do something that is spiritually attuning, right? That doesn't cost you a whole lot of money. And you'll find that in the beginning, it's very difficult. And then it gets easier and easier. And this allows you to open yourself up to new and different experiences and opportunities with your significant other. So one of the other things that Dad talked to me about, and this was something that I actually got to see my dad go through, because there was a certain time in my life where my mom and dad were butting heads over financial stuff, right? When I was a kid. And I remember some really heated arguments that took place over finances. And then later on, as I got older, they weren't having those types of heated discussions about finances anymore. And I noticed that something had changed. The way that my dad spoke about my mom to my mom and the way that my mom spoke about my dad was a little different for me anyway. You know, the more love that you express, the less conflict is going to be present. It's just that simple. Gottman Institute always talks about the 5-to-1 rule. If you've got one negative thing to say to somebody, you come up with 5 positive things to say to somebody. It's a very, very good thing to do. But there are some other things that we can do. And when you're talking about phones and what have you, man, send a loving text message to someone. You know, let them know that you're thinking about them. If it's a busy day at work, still, you know, send a quick video. It'd be 10 seconds, man. Just, hey, babe, how are you today? Just wanted to check in and see how you were doing. You know, just thinking about you or, you reminisced about something in your own mind and things like that. And I know that this stuff may sound really silly, but it reinforces the idea that you're thinking about the person who you're attached to, that you're involved with, right? If you've got your phone handy like that, it's a great idea. But compliments, man. And I think that that's something that we don't do a good job of. I think generally human beings, we don't do a good job of complimenting each other. We're so used to finding fault. We're so looking for what's wrong with this picture that we focus very little on what's right with a picture. And I believe in something called radical acceptance, right? I'm at a place in my life now where I can accept, and I'm thankful, I can accept a lot of things as they are. I no longer desire change. I don't need it like that. And it's a good feeling. It takes a lot of work to get there, and it's not easy. You go through some major stuff trying to do it, man. Some of it wasn't even because I was trying to do it. It just kind of happened. And it was like, oh, yeah, better let that go. Radical acceptance. And when you start practicing radical acceptance, now it actually gets easier to see somebody else's silver lining, the gold that they really are. Right. So you kind of want to focus on those types of things, man, because like, you know, one of the number one correlations with happiness in relationships is the number of appreciative gestures that people make towards each other. It's just people want to be appreciated, Women want to be appreciated by guys, okay? Or your significant others, they want to be appreciated. And so that's something that we need to work on. And I think that that also ties into being positive. And I'm not talking about not acknowledging that times are tough and all of that stuff. I think there are people out there who, when they hear the word positivity, they get scared because they think that, uh-oh, this person is going to ignore some real crazy stuff that we've got to deal with right now. No, that's not what I'm saying. But, you know, I think that it's okay to celebrate little moments with each other. Don't fall into the mundane. I did that before, man. It just makes your relationship horrible. It does. And a lot of guys, as I did myself, I rationalize being mundane. I really did. Maybe I'll talk about that some other time. But don't do that. Don't fall into the mundane. Celebrate the excitement, the joy. Focus on those things, man. They're extremely important. You know, you heard me talking in the beginning about guys who were retiring. Well, I've met some guys too who were terminally ill. Older men who I used to work with, some of whom have passed away now. And one of the things that they discussed as they were dying was, man, they miss passion in their lives. Right. And I think a lot of us listening can probably take a look at that and ask yourself, hey, do you have passion in your life now? Are you passionate about things now with your spouse, right? With your significant other? Do you know how to generate that? Do you know how to recreate that? Do you know how to connect to that? If you don't, go to a therapist, marriage and family therapist, relationship therapist. Don't sit back and wait and talk to her, talk to your significant other about it. Okay. It's extremely important because, I mean, if you don't, then yeah, your relationship is going to go down the drain. Okay. And this isn't something that's for women. This is for you, because I don't want you getting older and feeling like your life passed you by. You know, one of the only reasons I can sit here and say stuff like this today is because I had a horrible experience that kind of showed me that I was setting up myself so that life could just pass me by. And I didn't want that. I had to make a change. You know, and I continue to make those changes. This isn't about like some type of give in or whatever. And that's something that my dad continues to talk to me about today. You know, and one time I was telling a story to my children about my dad being a very angry person when he was younger. He was an angry person. But somewhere along the line, my dad learned to like push pause, man. Like, stop jumping to anger so much. Like, you're going to mess around and lose your life or kill somebody else. And then, yeah, you really won't be around your family. Like, that ain't going to work out so well for you. You know, get rid of this idea that you've got to be angry, or to be woke, you've got to be angry, or you got to seek retaliation and all that stuff. Somebody has to be right. Somebody's wrong. No. Then just stop. Okay. It's not a war. A lot of us who have been in relationships at one point or another, you know, if we were honest, we kind of looked at that person on the other side as the adversary. They're not supposed to be the adversary. Okay. And a lot of us, you know, it's easy for a person to feel some emotional things and say some things that maybe we shouldn't say, or do some things that we shouldn't say, or think some things that we shouldn't think. And there's always a thought. And then in that moment after the thought, there's an opportunity for us to change the way we think about what we just thought. That cognitive thing is out there. So we need to kind of take a step back, breathe, so that we don't do or say something that really isn't truly productive. In Buddhism, you know, cats always talk about, man, just saying the kind thing, okay, with the right mind, loving intention and what have you. And those are things that are difficult to practice. Yeah, they sound simple. They are difficult to practice, but they're also rewarding once you start implementing them. So that's extremely important as well. And, you know, in addition to that, this is something that I learned and just dealing with so many therapists, man, is that, you know, when you make I statements, you have to be very conscious of those type of, when you're talking about how you feel and all that kind of stuff, you have to be very conscious about what you are portraying. You know, are you talking about how you feel so you can make somebody else feel bad? Are you trying to find the resolution with the individual that you're involved with? You know, I mean, it just, a lot of people are very accusatory when they talk. It's, and we do it in relationships. We do it in all types of relationships, even at work. You know, we're like, you did this or you need to fix this, right? Well, you're probably not going to get anywhere with somebody if that's how you start off the conversation. I think we know that. Now, you look back and you go, oh, man, you know what? I screwed that one up. Duh. When we use you statements, man, it just turns everybody off. You know, if you think about it yourself, if your girl comes to you, your guy, whoever, if you're straight, gay, don't matter. They come to you and it's like, hey, you did this. Or you need to fix this. Or you always, oh my goodness. And those two words, you always, right? Extremely, extremely fire starting words in relationships, aren't they? Right. A lot of us have used them or we've received them. It just doesn't do any good. So talking about our own selves or I, help us avoid that. I felt like this. And there's a whole lot of stuff out there. I won't go through it. There's a whole lot of stuff out there that you can look up that help you develop I statements, man. But it's just, you know, it helps you to kind of like deflate the ego. Even though you're still talking about I, you're not... Firstly, you're not accusing the other person. And secondly, you're not really talking about your ego. You're going to get into the prickly parts of you, the sensitive parts of you. And that's really what we're supposed to do. Again, things that just help us be better in our relationships. And here's one that I know, yeah, it's probably going to suck because just, you know, I mean, quite honestly, man, it seems like the testosterone goes away for some of us guys and we just don't have that same ability to flirt the way we used to. There's a lot of women out there who still believe that the guy is supposed to ask the girl to marry him. There's a lot of women out there who still believe that the guy is supposed to chase after the girl if he wants her and stuff like that. But I gotta say, as you get older and more mature, you kind of chill out with that a little bit. Now, some of you guys may not, but again, it's different levels of testosterone and science impact your willingness to chase after somebody. Doesn't have anything to do with social standards. Okay. And I think that's something that women and men both need to be aware of, right? Science, just like science is what impacts our sexual desire. It's got very little to do with social expectations. It's got everything to do with the chemicals in your own body and your brain personally. But anyway, you know, flirting. Hard to do when you have kids running around and 50 jobs that you're working and everything like that. But, you know, some of the happier relationships, or those that, you know, have some flirting involved. For whatever reason, you know, when we're married or we've been involved for a long time, we don't think that we have to do that. Those things matter, and they still matter. But it's just that there are so many other things that are going on at the time that don't allow us to do that. But that's okay. I got something for you guys, right? Believe it or not, there's something out there, a book out there called The Flirting Bible. You need to check it out. Okay. Definitely need to check out the Flirting Bible. You can get it like on Amazon. if you want it. I mean, it's just talks about body language and getting noticed, meeting more people and stuff like that. Obviously, if you are in a committed relationship, you only want to use this for that type of situation, right? boundaries, people. But yeah, flirting Bible. So you want to look into that. Now, a lot of women who are listening to this are probably shaking their head. Yeah, flirt with me more. But I got to tell the women too. Hey, guess what? It goes both ways. I think that, again, women also have been impacted by social expectations. And a lot of women don't feel like or think that flirting is important to a guy. But we know, yeah, flirt with us too. We dig that, right? So, yeah. And the last thing that I'll end with, guys, is gratitude. Almost every spiritual book that most of you listeners are familiar with talks about gratitude on one level or another. We have to be able to extend that gratitude, not just to our higher power. We have to be able to extend that gratitude to our loved ones, to our significant others. And I think that's probably, you know, I was just talking to a couple people the other day talking about religion. And I said, you know, religion oftentimes is between human beings and spirituality is between the human being and God. Again, these religious books talk about gratitude. I think a lot of us are speaking about gratitude. We tend to focus on gratitude towards that higher power or God or whatever. But we don't focus on the gratitude towards human beings, towards each other. And learning to express gratitude, specific gratitude to our loved ones goes a long way to kind of open our loved ones up to our spirits and really, really just say, hey, I'm in this relationship with you. I'm trying to connect with you and here are the things that I value about you, and come up with a long list of them. Do it as many times as you can, you know, and if you have to be the lead in this type of endeavor, then be the lead in it. And if it's not reciprocated, then it's not reciprocated. You have to make a decision that, you know, have to ask yourself a question. Am I okay with it not being reciprocated, or does my ego need it, or does a part of my spirit need it? And then you have to decide what else to do after that. I won't tell you everything to do. But these are some of the things, guys, that you can do to impact your relationships now. So just wanted to put those things out there. Take notes, listen to it, share it with your buddies. Again, it's not about being a punk and stuff like that. Hey, look, if you love somebody and you want to be with them for the rest of your life, and you don't want to be some old dude on a hospital bed crying and dying, talking about how you wish you could go back and repair your life and relationships, you may want to look into these things. So until next time, guys, be well. We'll talk to you soon.